Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
What's going on, everybody? Sean Wally here with Sean Boyd for On the Double. Sean Wally coming to you from East Rutherford, New Jersey.
East Rutherford, New Jersey. Sean Wally, of course, covering all things Globetrotters back east, man. I know that you're having some fun over there. And, you know, it looks like you guys probably got kicked out for an NBA game there. I believe the Nets are playing against the Sacramento Kings, which this game is just about over. The Brooklyn Nets taking care of business, 107-99, over the Sacramento Kings, man.
Well, man, the Nets, as you said, play in Brooklyn, so we have no NBA confliction this time. We did have Brooklyn on, I believe, Saturday, and they did have a night game with the Nets then, so had a chance to say hi to Kevin Garnett playing for the Nets. That was really awesome. And for all the 12s out there in Seahawk land, I am in the same parking lot as MetLife Stadium.
So yeah, I know that there's a little bit of nostalgia for you. And of course, you know, the voice that leads off our show and kicks us off into this dynamic show of On the Double, Jared Lewis should be sitting next to you, man. You guys had a good time today?
Oh, man. Two shows today, and they went really, really well. And, yeah, Jared's doing an awesome job as a public address announcer. And man, he's a great talent.
So to all our listeners out there, I know that, you know, there's probably going to be a little bit of commotion for you because you're making the trek back from the arena to the hotel. So just to get our listeners up to date on what's going on there. But how's your first week, man? I know that, you know, the travels are something that you'll have to get used to. But I know one of the things that you and I talked about was keeping your voice. And how's that voice going?
Well, it's definitely sore and not at peak at the moment. Still trying to get used to this schedule. And we've got bunch of doubleheaders in a row. We got two games tomorrow in Newark, New Jersey. So we've got a lot of games to get through. But after tomorrow, we scale back and have a lot of single games each day. So that'll be nice.
You know, now I was thinking, Sean, that your voice would be totally hoarse, especially after NFL Sunday. Of course, the Seattle Seahawks taking care of business against the St. Louis Rams. And it looked like it was going to be, it was a close game for a while until Seattle broke it open. But I expected you to get on the air here and not have a voice. But it sounds like you're doing real well.
Well, I'm doing everything I can. Lots of water, lots of hot tea, lemon, honey. Doing everything I can. A lot of cough drops to try and keep the pipes flowing.
Now, on our last show, before our show, of course, Christmas comes along and, you know, everybody had a great time. You know, for me, I had a wonderful time spending time with family and getting a chance to have my son back from college. And, you know, spending time with Devon and getting, just understanding how this year was going on. And, you know, got some cool gifts from my oldest. And for you, though, you had to take off Christmas morning. So what time did you take off on Christmas morning?
Oh, goodness. That was an experience itself. I had to leave my cousin's house in Olympia at, excuse me one second. We have to exit the bus just a second. I had to leave Olympia at about 3:20 in the morning, Christmas morning, and I was able to, you know, take a look for Santa Claus and all the reindeer and see if they were out there since it was still overnight.
For those of you just tuning in, of course, Sean Wally en route from the arena back in East Rutherford, New Jersey, to the hotel. And so Sean is kind enough to join us here on the double as he is making that trek back. So that's why you hear the commotion. But what we're talking about is, you know, Sean actually taking off on Christmas morning, which is something new, something different. But at the same time, the excitement is there with you joining the Harlem Globetrotters. Of course, kind of give us an idea on how the Harlem Globetrotters met you with open arms as you got to the hotel.
Well, it took a minute to even, more than a minute, hours to even get to the hotel. Got picked up in the awesome Globetrotter-wrapped Greyhound bus and was escorted straight to the arena in Baltimore, the old Baltimore Coliseum, and we had rehearsals and went through practice with the team and got to meet everybody, so that was very cool.
Now, one of the things that, you know, goes without saying is, of course, you know, being taken care of wholeheartedly, and of course, you know, what the Globetrotters did as you got into the room, there's big duffel bags full of gear, man, and I can only imagine how exciting that must have been. It was like, you know, hey, Christmas has arrived. You know, shirts, sweatshirts, hats, I'm sure all kinds of apparel for you. So when you get back, I look forward to seeing some of that swag. And, you know, it should be an exciting stuff for you.
Absolutely. You got to look the parts. Got to look the part and wear the colors and the name. So it was great to get that gear and been wearing it a lot for these games.
Now, of course, over here on the Western Seaboard, all the way up and down from the Pacific Northwest to Southern California, the mighty breezes have rolled in. Of course, there's been some cold weather here on the West Coast. How is it on the East Coast?
You know, the East Coast is rather mild and been sunny. We did have rain a little bit yesterday morning, but temperatures in the mid-40s. And, you know, I expected it to be colder, possibly snow, but there's none in our future.
Man, well, it's been real, real brisk, real cool over here, even in Northern California. The lows have been about 30 degrees. I talked to my parents up in the Pacific Northwest, and they said that, goodness, the high in Western Washington was about 35 degrees. So I can imagine how cool it is about now.
Yeah, I have heard from people that said it was hailing, snowing in some areas, not a lot, but still cold enough. And depending on the elevation, of course, people definitely having some late December cold weather.
No doubt about it. And, you know, I look forward to you making the trek back over. And I know the Harlem Globetrotters are going to be in Sacramento. I know that that's not a part of your stint. That's part of the second group, but they will be in Sacramento January the 18th, and I know that they'll be in the Stockton Arena as well. For those of you who would like to get out and see the Harlem Globetrotters at the Stockton Arena, that is January the 18th, and of course at the Sleep Train Arena in Sacramento on January the 19th. So, you know, I'm going to try to get out there, Sean, just to see what it is that you do, even though it's not you and Jared, but it should be exciting nonetheless.
Yeah, that'll be great. It's a great game, and should be fun for everybody there in Northern California.
No doubt about it. Now, of course, this segment of our show, we talk a lot about bringing the light of high school basketball, or not high school basketball, but high school coaches in general. And so this segment is brought to you by the Chandler Reach Wineries. And we've had some great coaches, Sean Wally, such as Steve Grath at Chiawatha High School, also formerly of Pasco High School as well, the head football coach. And a couple of weeks ago, we had Denard Wilson at Grant High School, along with Fred Wilson last week, and those are of Grant High School and West Campus, respectively. And so right now, I'd like to introduce, without further ado, our first guest here on the double. That is none other than Pete Vaz, the head high school basketball coach at Castro Valley High School. Pete, how you doing today?
Great. That was a great intro, Sean.
Well,
I'm
Pete,
following a long line of historic high school coaches. I like that.
Hey, no doubt about it, man. And you know, you're doing some great things yourself. I believe you're starting out the season here 8-2. Now, did you see yourself starting out with such a great with such fervor?
No. You know, I'm the dumbest coach in the East Bay. I always think we can win every game. actually. So, and I've never been big on, you know, we'll win this one, we'll lose that one. I was just trying to take them each, you know, a day at a time and a game at a time. And but looking back, I mean, the teams we've beaten are pretty good. So to be 8-2 right now is good. It's good for where we are.
Now, Pete, you've been coaching, my goodness, what, about 30? God, can I even say that? About 30 years? Is that how long you've been coaching?
I was a varsity high school coach when I was 25 years old.
We'll leave it at that.
30 years.
My goodness, you know, I was doing the math, and I had to scratch my head, and I was like, oh, my gosh, has it been 30 years? But 30 years of greatness. And, of course, as of recent, you've coached at Mission San Jose.
Yes.
As the head basketball coach there. And then, of course, last year at Dublin High School. And now the daunting task of Castro Valley. And so kind of give us an idea on what that's like and what the pressures are.
It's been good. I mean, I was at Mission San Jose in Fremont for over 20-something years. I still teach there. And then stepped away because my daughter was starting high school and wanted to be around a little bit more, get off the grind, but couldn't get it out of my system. So I helped out as an assistant at Castro Valley for a couple of years. Went 30-2 and made the NorCal semis. And then the coach there left, helped out at Dublin. And then last year was my daughter's senior year. She's the head cheerleader. So I figured I'd be at the games anyway, and then I took over as the head coach last year, and then this year is the second year there. So it's been good, but it's a challenge because I am an off-campus coach, so that leads to different challenges off the court mostly.
Now, of course, Pete, you know, some of the things that you do on the court are nothing short of brilliant, which is the reason why the team has started out as well as they've done. Now, you had the chance to play against Dublin High School, a team that you coached at last year. And how was the result? What happened in the tournament there?
Oh, that was great. We were in the Don Nelson tournament, not the Golden State Warriors Don Nelson, but he was the old coach and a commissioner down here in the East Bay. And we the first round game, we had Heritage High School, which actually knocked us out last year of the NCS and ended our season. They were 5-0, and we got them, which was a good payback for us. And then we played Antelope, which is from up north. Tough team, beat them. And then we got Dublin in the finals of their tournament and jumped off to a really good start and was up pretty big at half. And they made a little run, of course, in the fourth quarter, but we held on and beat them. But so it was a lot of fun to go back there and, you know, beat the guys you've coached with and, you know, some of the players growing up, so to speak.
Coach, what are some things that you like to instill in your players and help them out and get them, you know, not only graduating high school, but possibly to the next level?
Pretty simple. You got to be accountable and you got to be responsible. Just keep things simple, you know, try and live in the real world, you know, be a man of your word. If somebody asks you to do something and you say you're going to do it, that you do it. You know, be accountable to your teammates, be respectful to the game. You know, it's always kind of a house of cards. It's hard to see if it's, paying off, but you know, for the most part, I've always had pretty good character guys and pretty good players. So it's been a good fit. But it's definitely a challenge with the way the world has changed the last 25, 30 years for the teenagers especially.
Coach, in all the years that you've been coaching, do you ever hear from players that you maybe coached 10, 15, 20 years ago and get to hear how you affected their life?
Oh, yeah. You know, I try and keep in touch with a lot of those guys. And it's kind of cool seeing what they, you know, are growing up into. And, you know, they're starting their families and they're getting into the real world. And, you know, we always kind of laughed that it was so much easier back then. You know, you didn't have all these worldly problems, and all we had to do was make sure we got weak side help. And, you know, if you didn't, you got barked at a little bit. And that was like this huge issue that you had to deal with in comparison to the world now that they're in. It's pretty simple. So, I've had a few guys go on to coach and get into teaching and go on to play a little bit. So that's kind of nice. There's a kid playing at Hawaii right now, another kid at Marquette. So it's kind of nice to turn on the TV and see him play.
Pete Vaz joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And of course, Coach, you do some other things outside of coaching basketball. And I know that that's a daunting task. You know, I, at one point in my life, I was doing that full time as well. But you also get the chance to help produce and put on some shows and work with us with the major networks, man. And, man, my goodness, how do you find the time to do it? I mean, you handle specialty stats for the major networks, and you do an awesome job at it. Man, again, where do you find the time?
Well, it's all about getting organized and getting that calendar and having a wonderful, loving, supportive wife and kids that understand that you get to watch sports and get paid for it, and so that makes it pretty, pretty fun. But it's also kind of nice to detox from the week too, for all the stuff teaching in one place and then coaching another. And you actually get a chance to kind of, you know, clear my mind and not have too much going on up there other than, you know, quarterback under pressure or thrown at. So it makes it good. Plus there's a great staff with the networks that we work with that make it a helpful and wonderful experience.
Well, you know, Pete, you're definitely one of the most sought after people in the area. I mean, whenever we're on the field or whenever we're talking to people, there's always somebody, it seems like a former student or somebody that knows you. And so you have a great spirit and a great character. And it sounds like you have everything going with the work-life balance. I mean, you know, you're coaching, then you're at a professional venue, you're helping out. And for those of you who don't know what Pete does, he does the behind the scenes as far as when you're in the comforts of your own home, and you'll see like some figures pop up, like maybe a Colin Kaepernick 6-9 for 75 yards and a touchdown on a drive. That's all Mr. Vaz there. And so, you know, you do an awesome job, man. And hey, I'm in awe of what you do.
Oh, I appreciate that. We're just trying to give the viewer a little more information to make it a great show for them, and see what happens. It's all in good fun. It's all tomfoolery. It's all good.
Coach, what are some of the favorite events, games that you have worked?
Well, I'm a basketball guy, so the NCAA tournament's always been kind of fun. First round games, they got four games that open your round. That's a kind of a marathon. It makes it fun. And then, of course, anytime the playoffs are in town for the NFL, that's been a lot of fun. That will not be an issue this year, of course. But
No, it won't.
No. And who knows? Maybe not next year either. It just depends on how this thing all breaks out. But I've actually done some worked for every network, which is kind of cool. Done some ESPN and NBC Sunday Night, and of course CBS and Fox with the NFL is the main thing. But it's been good. It's kind of interesting to see behind the scenes all the hard work that you guys do in the industry and make it a good event for the viewers or listeners, depending on how it shakes down. I would like to do
Coach,
stats for the Harlem Globetrotters, though.
Do you have a favorite network to work for?
No, I feel kind of loyal to CBS just because they've gave me my first chance to work and do the stats or the official stats or whatever they have us do. That's always been kind of the one that, you know, is my first love. So I have to always be respectful to CBS in particular. But no, it's a fun gig, and it's kind of nice to watch sports and contribute to it, and and get the paycheck 2 weeks later, of course. That way I can provide for my daughter and all her needs.
Yes, you know, and I'm sure Allie definitely appreciates all the due diligence that you put in.
Now, Coach, I hope she does.
Now, Coach, you have done some things, you know, in the community all throughout the years. And, you know, as of recent, probably about a few years ago, and I don't know if this is still going on, but talk to us a little bit about VASBall. That was something about in about 2008 or so. You had a basketball development program. Is that something that you're still doing these days?
You know what? When my kids were little, I started that as a nonprofit organization and did camp here in Castro Valley for 8, 9, 10 years. And then I was also doing camp for the city of Fremont. And then I've kind of taken over at the high school. I shut down the one here in town because I didn't want any kind of conflict of interest, and been mostly doing the city of Fremont camps where I teach, which has been great. But the thing is that I've enjoyed it. It's opened up avenues to, you know, meet other coaches and work other camps. I worked Michael Jordan's camp for 4 or 5 years every summer down in Santa Barbara. You know, I spent some time in John Wooden's home through connections. Brent and John Barry had a camp I was able to work. And so it's just given me an opportunity to kind of branch out and use basketball for fun, but also educate myself on the new things going on in the game. And it's been good. It's been very worthwhile.
Now, Coach, you're constantly, it sounds like you're constantly learning. And, you know, when you and I sit down and talk, you know, hopefully, you know, you understand that I learn a lot of things from you, and, you know, almost to the point to where I feel like I could get back into the game at any given time.
But, come on back. We'll take you. It's got to lure.
You know, I think back to those times. I'm like, man, there's a lot of energy and a lot of fun. But you mentioned, you know, getting a chance to be around Michael Jordan and being around the Barrys and everything. And you do. You're a very modest person, but you have met a lot of great people and stay in contact with, it sounds like, with college and professional coaches.
Yeah, that's, for me, that's half the fun. You know, it's the people you know in the business. I'd like to think I've never really been too intimidated by, you know, a big name or, you know, a personality that, you know, they're in it for the same reasons I'm in it. They love the competition. They love the sports, the camaraderie that goes with it. If all goes well, I'll be down in L.A. and tomorrow, the next day, I visit. I got a friend that works with the Clippers, and he's an old high school coach that made the jump to the NBA, which is a great story. And just, you know, and this was all before all the social media. So it's, in this business, it's all about the relationships. It's not so much what you know, but who you know, and you know, you learn from everybody that you're around, and it just makes it better for the big picture of what you're trying to do with your life and make the other people in your world's life better.
No doubt about it, Coach. No doubt about it. Now, I mentioned earlier
I learned from you. You have some pretty good stuff too. Your Kool-Aid quote is the one I'm taking back. I'm saving that for a halftime during league.
Oh, man, hey, there's nothing like Jim Jones, man. I tell you. I use that quota in more ways than one, more than you would imagine.
I'm going to use it. I just got to pick the date. Maybe when we play out Doubt or something. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I look forward to that, man. Hey, Coach, I had mentioned earlier, you guys are 8-2 on the year, had a tough loss coming up on this last game. But January 2nd is the next game, and that's against who?
We play this Saturday. We play Irvington High School. And the thing with our schedule I like is that, you know, half of the teams we have scheduled are Division I opponents, and we're Division I. We're a big school. So, you know, as we go forward in the section playoffs, that's going to be a key, you know, component of how we did leading up to that. So they're a Division I opponent on Saturday. It's a big game because we haven't played in a week or so. And so, you know, we're trying to shake the rust off at practice a little bit and be ready, because they'll be ready for us. I know that for sure.
And where's that game at again, Coach?
Oh, it'll be a cast rally. It'll be a 2 o'clock afternoon game, which will be good. It's a home game for us, so we're looking forward to getting out and competing against them. They're a good team. They're up and coming a little bit. They got some young guys that are pretty good, and we're gonna have to be ready.
Well, I know that you'll have them ready, and definitely have a great game. And Coach A, thanks for joining us here on the Double. We wish you continued success. And again, that game is January 2nd. That's at Castro Valley High School, and that is on Santa Maria Avenue.
Yes.
Am I correct? Santa Maria.
Okay, Santa Maria Avenue.
Man, I am just pulling out all the stops, Coach. But, yeah, if any of our listeners are in the area there, definitely go out and support the Castro Valley Warriors and Coach Pete Vaz. Coach, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, you got to appreciate it and respect the job you guys are doing, you know, the variety of people that you guys get, and you do a great job. So, you know, you guys keep up the good work, and make sure you have a Happy New Year, okay?
All right, you too, Coach.
All right.
Happy New Year, Coach. Thanks for your time.
Oh, you got it. Thanks a lot.
There goes the head coach of Castro Valley High School, Pete Vaz, joining us here on the Double. Sean Wally, man, I tell you, I'm full, man. You know, the way Pete is constantly on the go and does some awesome things, I know that, you know, his family has to definitely be patient and diligent, but, you know, it's all for the good. You know, he's helping his family. He's helping out the community. And what an awesome coach, man.
Absolutely. He's doing great things, and you want to keep it right here on the Double. When we come back, we'll talk about the NFL playoffs that are set and, of course, Black Monday in the NFL. You are listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds. And since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away. And I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double, Sean Wally in New Jersey. Sean Boyd down there in Sacramento, California. What's going on, Sean?
Well, man, just had guest number one, of course, as you know, Pete Vaz of Castro Valley High School in Northern California, and a great guest to have on, and, you know, doing some great things in Northern California and actually throughout. And so, man, we want to shift gears a little bit, though, Sean. I know that you're making the trek back in East Rutherford, New Jersey, and heading back to the hotel. A couple of escapades going on, it sounds like.
Yeah, life on the road's always an adventure, and we were on an incline trying to leave the arena, and the bus, for some reason, couldn't get out. So that's why we all exited the bus for about 10, 15 minutes and finally had a forklift assist us to get out, and we made it out. Everybody loaded back on, or so we thought. We pulled out, hit the freeway, got a phone call. One guy was apparently in the arena somewhere, and we left him. So now we're circling back to get him, and we're back at the Izod Center.
This is just puzzling me because I just had this discussion yesterday as I was sitting at...
You can hear, you might be able to hear the booze as he gets back on the bus. Just hilarious.
Wow. So I was just talking about this at brunch yesterday, just before the 49ers game, and talking about some of the stuff that you do and some of my memories of going to the Harlem Globetrotters events when I was little. And I'll never forget, the Curly Neal. It just seemed like without fail. And I remember them being shown on Wide World of Sports from time to time. And Curly Neal would always make that half-court shot. And it's a half-court hook shot. And I remember them coming to the UPS Fieldhouse up in Tacoma, Washington. And Curly Neal took that shot. And, he had made three in a row because my parents always took me. They always took me and my brother. And, I remember that hook shot being shot, and he missed it. And I felt like the world was coming to the end, or the earth stopped on its axis, because that just doesn't happen. But, of course, he righted that ship in the next series when they came back down the court. But now you're telling me that the bus, the Harlem Globetrotters bus, the world-renowned Sean Wally, the Harlem Globetrotters bus is getting stuck. I just don't understand. What has happened to perfection? And now I'm hearing choruses of boos in the background. Say it ain't so.
Just for the last guy that we had to turn around for. So, we had to give him a little guff. And hey, the team is on a different bus, so they were safe and sound back at the hotel.
So you guys are the leftover bus. Is that what you're saying? There's a leftover bus. There's the team, and then there's the bus that has all the equipment and everything on. That's the one you're on?
No, it's the staff bus. It's the Harlem Globetrotter staff bus.
Oh, my goodness. You're killing me. I was just I'm thinking that, I have this picture of grandeur that you're traveling in style. So let's keep it that way. I don't want to hear anything about the Harlem Globetrotters bus breaking down. Our listeners, Sean, don't want to hear that. So I'm just happy that you guys are making it back safe.
Hey, they want to know the adventure that this is, so we'll tell it like it is as best we can.
Well, most definitely. So we were talking earlier about the playoffs that are coming up in the NFL, and of course, I had mentioned at the beginning of the show that the Seattle Seahawks took care of business up in the Pacific Northwest. Beast mode happened, and of course, the defense happened once again down the stretch, and this team is clicking on all cylinders going in. Man, what's the feel up there? Have you been talking to family as you're over there on the East Coast on what the vibe is up in Seattle?
Well, the funny part about it was, Seattle didn't score until the second half, so everybody was texting me, blowing up my phone, blowing up Facebook, talking about how horrible they were playing and St. Louis might take the game. And it was 6-0. And I never lost confidence. And people were starting to freak out at times. And really, one score and you're winning the game as far as a touchdown is concerned. And they took care of business in the second half and put up 20 points.
Yeah, well, Marshawn Lynch happened. Of course, he had a nice, I believe, 11-yard scamper into the end zone that righted the ship. He had a fumble earlier in the game. And, of course, he righted that ship by getting into the end zone. And, there was a pick six that occurred later. The defense actually started stepping it up in typical Seattle fashion. And so all is good. The stars are aligned the way that they are supposed to be in the Pacific Northwest. Not so much down here in Northern California, as my goodness, Sean, I can't even begin to tell you how Santa Clara felt yesterday as I entered the stadium. It was an ominous, somber feeling, and the crowd was late getting into the game, but the the group of or the crowd that did come to the game early, they were, you know, waited with bated breath, if you will. They were closer to the railings. They wanted to get a close look at Coach Harbaugh one last time. They, you know, all of a sudden the reality started to set in that this was his last game. And a lot of the media, you know, we formed around the tunnel. And, you know, typical Jim Harbaugh fashion, as we're waiting for the team to come out through the tunnel that they normally come out through, he exits through the VIP out the VIP area and runs onto the field. And, you know, in his candid spectacle, and, you know, it was typical of Coach. And, you know, the team didn't let him down. They wound up getting the win and helping you guys up there in Seattle secure that at least that home field advantage for the first round.
Well, Arizona really wasn't a threat to the number one seed, even though a victory they would have had the same record. But Seattle's taken care of them twice in the season. But yeah, it was interesting to see the 49ers win that game and send Coach Harbaugh out with a victory.
Now, you know, a lot of the talk that has been going on here in Northern California has been, you know, why? Why is Coach Harbaugh leaving? We know that there has been it's been cited today from Trent Baalke, the GM of the 49ers, as philosophical differences. So he and Jed York were in a press conference today, and that is what they cited between themselves and Coach Harbaugh. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Jim Harbaugh, of course, in his tenure with the San Francisco 49ers went, I believe, 49-22 with one tie. And that's through four seasons. Led the team to three straight NFC championship games with a Super Bowl appearance in one of them. As a matter of fact, that Super Bowl appearance, they were 3 points away from actually winning the Super Bowl. So all of that happening in 4 years. And the thing that Trent Baalke and Jed York stand on are philosophical differences. What do you think of that?
Well, Sean, we know that cohesion is important in anything you do, any business, any venture, anything you set your mind to. If all the pieces aren't aligned and the right and left hand aren't in sync and aren't doing the same things and going in the same direction, then, you know, it's tough. And you look at the programs that are doing well, like a Seattle, like a Green Bay, you know, the GMs, the coaches, they're all in line and in sync, and it's working very, very well.
Yeah, you know, and I understand that, and I get that. I'm just trying to figure out if this was something, because one of the things that Trent Baalke was saying was he saw this in year number one, and he felt like he should have been able to, or he felt like he should have fixed it then. But if you don't fix it then, and there's continued success, what is the big picture and what is the problem here? And so, you know, last I checked, Jim Harbaugh was there to coach football, and if he's doing a great job in coaching football, because let's face it, the 49ers did not have, you know, a good year all things considered in, you know, when you're talking San Francisco 49er football, with the successes that they had over the past 3 years, this was just, you know, tragic to them. But yet and still, when the season is over, they are at 8-8. So it wasn't a losing season. With all the things that have happened in the locker room, all of the things that have been a he said, she said, as far as information being leaked out at the top, I would say that Jim Harbaugh did a pretty darn good job in keeping this team afloat and balanced to where they could at least salvage a season of 8-8.
Yeah, but if you look at Harbaugh's tenure at Stanford and with the 49ers, he wears thin on people. It's his personality. It's oil and water. It's not, yes, he's a good coach. Yes, he's a smart football mind, but he obviously rubs people the wrong way, and they can only put up with it for so many years.
Well, you know, and I guess that's the question. I mean, for all of our listeners in Northern California, that's what they want to know. They want to know, what is it that is rubbing, you know, certain people the wrong way? Who is it rubbing the wrong way? Because if you ask me, Sean Wally, because I'm there week in and week out, The players love him. And, you know, whenever there's adversity that goes on, whenever there's murmurs of a breakup in the locker room, you know, whatever the case may be, I've seen game balls given to him. I've seen the players rally around him. I've heard nothing but great things from the players, from a player standpoint. As far as the coaching standpoint is concerned, I haven't heard any negatives as well. So who is it rubbing the wrong way? And, you know, if it is rubbing the front office the wrong way, maybe the front office should take a step back and do front office duties instead of trying to stick their nose into some of the things that go on the field. Because I can tell you, Sean, when you make a decision like this, a decision as impactful as this, you know, saying regardless of what the community thinks, I, the president, I, the owner, I, the GM, I'm going to do it my way. It doesn't wind up looking good in the public eye, and it doesn't wind up, it doesn't end well either, you know, as far as the outcome.
Well, initially, sure, but if you look at what happened at Stanford, they got right in a hurry, and the same can happen in San Francisco. They have a good team, and if you take a look at, I mean, really, who do you have to get along with? You have to get along with your bosses, and that's something Harbaugh apparently couldn't do.
So with that being said, if that is the case, now he is. It has been said that Jim Harbaugh is heading over to Ann Arbor, Michigan. He's touched down a few hours ago, meeting with the top brass there. If that is the case, Sean Wally, then why are programs and organizations still looking to offer this young man upwards of $8 million to $10 million a year? If it's so bad, if he is that terrible, why are organizations and programs looking to do that?
Because he's a good football mind. He played the game. He's coached the game at a very successful level. But also, Michigan has yet to find out how he is, what his personality is like, and they haven't seen the oil and water mixture that Harbaugh can be.
Well, you know, there's another team across the bay that would love to have that oil and water mixture. And, you know, there are a lot of teams in the NFL that would love to have a chance to deal with that type of a problem. And, you know, and just as we're talking on this point, the last time the Raiders were successful, of course, that was in 2001, 2002. Of course, John Gruden being the head coach, as the Raiders parted ways with John Gruden, they parted ways with him by trading him for draft picks, because they felt like they could do better without him because of the, you know, there was that clash with the ownership, between the ownership and the coach then. And the Raiders haven't been the same since. Now, I can point out other teams that have done the same thing. Of course, here in Northern California, I can pick another team that to where the Sacramento Kings, for example, in around the same time, 2001, 2002, the last great seasons that the Kings had. And then, of course, they got into this feeling of, hey, we're tired of going to the playoffs. We're tired of just being a great team. We want to win the championship, the NBA title. But they got rid of a great coach, Rick Adelman, leading them to 8 straight years in the playoffs, thinking that they could do better, and it falls apart. Now, I understand what you're saying, Sean. I understand that, you know, hey, if you can't get along with your boss, there's somebody that will fall in line and that will. And the Stanford situation is a great analogy to go off of. You hit the nail on the head. Of course, Shaw coming in and doing an excellent job and keeping the program going. He's one of those guys that can actually fall in. Which brings us to this, Sean. A lot of people think, a lot of the people in the Bay Area believe that the 49ers are going to have to go after an A-list type of a person, like a Rex Ryan or you know, one of the top guys out there. And I don't think that's the case. I don't think that, you know, I think what the 49er faithful are going to find out is that their next coach may very well come from in-house. And it might already be a done deal. It might be something that the that Trent Baalke and Jed York are not informing the 49er faithful about. This might have been something that has been in place all the way up until last year, which is the reason why we have come to this tragedy throughout the year that has slowly trickled into where we are right now. I believe truthfully, Sean Wally, that the next head coach for the San Francisco 49ers will come from in-house. It's not going to be a marquee name. So what does that, you know, what kind of level of confidence does that bring to the San Francisco 49er faithful? And if it doesn't work, where do they go from there?
Well, so you're kind of relating it to our fans in the Pacific Northwest, how it kind of was when Holmgren left, that they had Jim Mora ready and waiting.
Yeah, you know, and I truthfully believe that, you know, that, you know, God bless them. I think that Jed York and Trent Baalke actually mean well. I for whatever reason, whatever world that they live in, they don't see. I don't think that they care what the appearance looks like. They just want their result done. And again, as I was explaining, I truly believe that they already have their coach in place. They're going to go through the motions. They're going to go through the interviews. They're going to, you know, play this out to the fullest for the public. But I believe that they already have their coach in place, and it's an in-house coach. I can name a couple of them off for you right now. Of course, the name that's been coming up the most is Jim Tomsula, and he's a great mastermind in his field. And the other coach, I believe, is Vic Fangio. Now, you know, I've said that Vic Fangio was the odds-on guy for a while now, and you know, I'm gonna stand on that one. As a matter of fact, Navarro Bowman came out today in an interview in a press interview after the game, and kind of jokingly said, "Hey, you know what? I would like for Vic Fangio to be the next head coach. If he's not the head coach, at least keep him in house to be the defensive coordinator." You know, that's what we're looking at. That's what we're looking at in Northern California. So 49er fans, if you're thinking that there's going to be a marquee name that comes in, that rides in on a horse and is going to save the day and just, you know, do spectacular things, that's not going to happen. But you could have a successful team still by bringing in a head coach in-house. And that is what I believe that Trent Baalke is looking at, is bringing the next coach in.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they decide. You know, a big name would definitely get the fans interested, but remains to be seen what will happen. And there was a lot happening yesterday on the field and some playoff positioning to be had.
Yeah, so, I mean, there are some, as you're saying, that, you know, the playoffs are among us, and you know, there are some big games. Of course, the Carolina Panther game comes to mind. Carolina against the Atlanta Falcons yesterday. And, of course, you know, man, the Carolina Panthers took care of business and left no doubt as they, you know, stamped their punched their ticket in to get into the playoffs here and actually win the NFC South as they throttled the Atlanta Falcons and actually caused Mike Smith to lose his job today. And so, you know, that's going to be a great wild card coming up as the playoffs start, as the Carolina Panthers are looking to take on the Arizona Cardinals. And, you know, that should be fun. I believe the Panthers lead that series overall 7-5. And the last time these guys played, October 6, 2013, Arizona beat the Carolina Panthers 22-6. But, man, I think that it's going to be a lot closer than that. And if there's a team that can actually come out and play well in the playoffs, and if this is set up really well for Carolina, I mean, you know, the Seattle Seahawks know that, you know, they play Carolina pretty tough. So this isn't going to be one of those pushover games. Cam Newton is definitely going to be ready to fire.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the Panthers can do. And of course, their rookie wide receiver that's doing great things, Kelvin Benjamin. And you know, of course, Seattle and Green Bay, the 1 and 2 seeds getting the week off. And I think it's going to be really tough for teams other than Seattle or Green Bay to make it to the NFC Championship. I would say if there is one other that has a shot, it's the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and you're mentioning that game. That game is going to be played this Sunday at 1:40 kickoff time. Dallas Cowboys playing the Detroit Lions. And, you know, I would have said that the Detroit Lions had a shot at this one. They still very well do have a shot at winning this game, Sean Wally. But, of course, when there's negativity that comes into your camp, and what I mean by that is the suspension of Ndamukong Suh. Of course, Ndamukong Suh was suspended for malicious acts on the football field. Again, Sean Wally, it is documented and on video that he stepped on one Aaron Rodgers' ankle as he was brought to the ground yesterday. And of course, the NFL and the league officials wasted no time in suspending Ndamukong Suh for that. So the Detroit Lions are going into this game with one less pass rusher.
Is there a bigger jerk in the NFL? All the antics this guy's done, and he maliciously steps on quarterback Aaron Rodgers' leg, not once, but twice, and wants to act like it was an accident after Rodgers already was out of the game with an injured calf.
Well, you know, that's the scary thing. You know, from my observation, you know, it looks like, you know, Ndamukong is he's very cunning and crafty at, you know, this crazy behavior. He can try to make it look like it was so accidental. And the bad thing is his conscience, he can just walk away from it like nothing ever happened, you know? And I believe in his mind deep down, he does. He believes that nothing happened. And, you know, that is a bad characteristic to have. And, you know, for such a great football player in the Ndamukong Suh, because, you know, let's face it, he is a good football player. Let me take back the great part, because when you do silly things like that, it's kind of hard to call you great. But he's a good enough and a decent enough football player to give respect to. And then when you combine it with this crazy attitude, it just makes it, you know, I don't know what Detroit is going to do. You know, I don't know if they are looking to keep him on the squad, but, you know, whoever picks him up, if the Detroit Lions do decide to release him, man, they have a huge, huge psychological problem that they have to deal with.
And Sean, over in the AFC, I know you were very excited with what happened between the Chiefs and the Chargers.
Yeah, you know, I thought that the 49ers were going to take care of the Chargers a week prior, but Kansas City Chiefs actually took care of business, and all is right in the world. I mean, you know, my beloved Raiders, of course, you know, have bigger fish to fry as far as getting the organization back intact. But, you know, I the San Diego Chargers, you know, year in and year out, this is my problem. The Chargers get anointed like the Dallas Cowboys do every year as far as the teams to make it to the Super Bowl, regardless of what Seattle does, regardless of what San Francisco does, or any of the other great teams that have played in the past, Baltimore, Pittsburgh. You know, it's always Dallas and San Diego. And for I don't know what it is about the Chargers to where people rally behind them as if they are the pinnacle of the NFL, but I just call them out as the phonies that they are. The Kansas City Chiefs proved that, and they righted a ship, because last year at this very same time, the Kansas City Chiefs allowed the San Diego Chargers to back into the playoffs, and it caused a, you know, kind of a domino effect, if you will, when they played the Indianapolis Colts, at least in the first half. This time the Kansas City Chiefs made sure that San Diego Chargers weren't getting in.
So what's your take on the six teams that did make the playoffs over in the AFC?
Well, you know, the one that I am the most intrigued about is this divisional rival, and that is the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, not only do these guys play each other twice in a regular season, now they're getting ready to go up against each other in the first round of the divisional playoff series in the AFC. And the Steelers do lead that one overall 17-14. The last time these two teams played, November the 2nd, Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Baltimore Ravens 43-23. And, you know, this should be a great game. Of course, John Harbaugh will have his team ready. And, of course, Mike Tomlin, you know, let's face it, you know, these guys, this is what they do. Both of these teams are, you know, they're favorites as well. And it's just a travesty that both of these teams have to play each other in the first round.
So, Sean, with the six playoff teams in each conference, give me your Super Bowl prediction.
Oh, gosh. I think it's a little early to do that. There's a lot of football left. Of course, you're going to factor in injuries. You're going to, you know, factor in weather and all those types of things. But if I were to...
Come on now. You got the 12 teams in the round in the playoffs. What are you going to do? Wait until Championship Sunday and then figure it out?
Why not? Let some of these dominoes fall a little bit, and then we can kind of get a clearer picture. But if I have to do it, oh, my goodness. I can't believe it. I cannot believe that you have me doing this. I think it's a magical year. I kind of liken it to what has been going on in Seattle over the past few years. Of course, Seattle, you know, going into the playoffs for the first time in a while at 7-9, and then beating New Orleans and, you know, causing what is now history in beast mode, or the beast quake, that awesome game. And of course, Seattle picking up that fortune over the past few years. Even though I just talked about them, I see the Dallas Cowboys making it to the Super Bowl in the NFC. And, that's over Seattle, over Green Bay. I see the Dallas Cowboys making it to the Super Bowl. And the AFC, you know, is kind of a toss-up, Sean. It's one of those mixed bags. All these guys play well. If I were to pick a team out of the AFC, you know, I'm thinking that the Denver Broncos make it back and Denver beats Dallas in the Super Bowl.
Wow. If you could see my face right now, holy cow. Cowboys, goodness. I know Ricky Heisen back in Pasco, Washington, would be hilariously laughing and loving the fact that you picked them.
You asked me at the beginning of the playoffs right now who I think. And Dallas, Denver winning it. Let's put that one in the books.
Well, on my end of things, I know
who you already picked. We shouldn't even ask. I mean, I think I have more of an unbiased look at this whole thing. I know you have Seattle walking all the way through, and you should. I mean, let's face it, Seattle's playing the best football that they played this year. They're doing awesome things. They're starting to look like that team that dominated last year. Everything's favorable for them, including home field advantage. I just think that for whatever reason, Dallas is going to go back up there to Seattle, and they're going to beat Seattle twice in a year to lead themselves to the Super Bowl.
So for that to happen, that would be in the NFC title game. So you think the Cowboys can come into Seattle and not only get a second victory in the same season, but do it for the NFC championship?
Again, against the 12th man and the Seattle Seahawks in the Legion of Boom. Yes. Yes.
Wow. Wow. You should sell whatever you are drinking because it is good, apparently.
They've been looking like the team to beat in the NFL as well, just like Seattle has. And, you know, head-to-head, they've beaten – they went up to Seattle. Let's not gloss over this. We understand that, you know, it's a regular season. I understand that, a regular season game, this, that, and the other. But we're talking about the 12th man. We're talking about the Legion of Boom. We're talking about everything that, you know, could possibly be against you as an opponent going in. And Dallas went up there and manhandled Seattle. Let's not gloss over that. I mean, because that, you know, that in itself exposed who Seattle was. Now, I understand that Seattle will make their adjustments. They'll, you know, they'll look at the film. They'll see what went wrong. But when you actually have an upper hand, and I believe that the Dallas Cowboys offensive line is just a bully, regardless of what Seattle does. Dallas's offensive line is a bully and a juggernaut. They're going to be able to run the football. Now, it's going to be up to Seattle to actually keep pace with the scoring. And so this is a call to arms on the Legion of Boom. This will see how tough they actually are, if they are the same team that they were last year. And if they are, then that's great. You know, then they've earned it. They deserve it. They'll go back to the Super Bowl, and all will be good. But I just see that the Dallas Cowboys this year, their lucky rabbit's foot is in their pocket. Let's face it. That rabbit's foot is in their pocket, and, you know, everything is – they're rolling sevens. It's – call it what you will. It's 21 all over again. All the cliches, it's in their favor this year.
Well, that definitely remains to be seen. And my prediction, of course, does have the Seattle Seahawks in the NFC Championship facing the Green Bay Packers in what will be an epic, epic football game. But in the end, the 12th man, the defense, too much for Aaron Rodgers yet again, which would send the Seahawks to Arizona, a place they really like to play. And if you thought there were some 12s here at MetLife Stadium in February, goodness, just think how many will be in Arizona. It's a short 2-hour plane ride, or about a 12-13 hour drive from the Northwest. So a lot of fans will be there as the Seahawks take on the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 49.
Yeah, see, I could see where you would come up with that. And of course, New England's playing some great football. I just believe that, you know, with Denver, they're going to find a way to get it right. They were embarrassed against New England this year in the regular season. And I just, you know, Peyton Manning, he doesn't have too many bullets in the chamber. And I believe that this team is going to rally behind Peyton Manning in the postseason and make sure that they get this done. And so I've got Denver beating Dallas in the Super Bowl. Of course, you have Seattle, and I get that. I understand that. But we'll see. We'll see as the rounds go on.
Yeah, my Seahawks have allowed just 3 touchdowns in the last 5 games. So bring on your Cowboys, and let's roll the dice.
All right, we'll do that, man. So you've got the tour coming up, and, of course, next week, where are you traveling to?
Well, tomorrow, our final doubleheader of a triple doubleheader, 3 straight days of 2 games. And we will be in Newark, New Jersey tomorrow. And then we have on New Year's Eve, we will be having a day game in White Plains, New York. And that'll be nice to have New Year's Eve night free. And then the awesome part, starting off 2015 with January 1st off, our first true off day with the Globetrotters. And the plan is for Jared Lewis and I to get into the heart of New York City and see what we can get into and check everything out, see the sights, and have a good time before the 2nd and 3rd we invade Madison Square Garden. That's going to be amazing to be at the world's most famous arena.
Yes, it is. The world's most famous arena, the MSG. Man, be sure you post some pictures up on on our Double S Express page and our Facebook and Twitter, man. That's you've been doing an awesome job in that. And I mean, you know, when you get into this industry, there are a few places that people want to get to and visit. And of course, a lot of those places revolve around New York City, one being Madison Square Garden, the other being Yankee Stadium. And so you are in the epicenter of entertainment and excitement in the athletic realm, man. And so that should be exciting.
And then the fun thing to look forward to for us on the 3rd, after our second Madison Square Garden game in 2 days, we hit the road for Richmond, Virginia, which is just a mere 6-hour bus trip down the highway.
Just a mere 6. And so you're getting a chance to see the Eastern Seaboard, the Atlantic. And, of course, it's fun, man. I myself look forward to talking with you after January 1st as you're getting ready to do one of the shows to see how you're coping with possibly watching the ball drop in Times Square.
Oh, I'm definitely not going to go into the city New Year's Eve because it's very, very crazy with millions lining the streets. And, you know, we won't even get back to the hotel until I think we have a noon or 2 o'clock game that day. So we won't even get back till I think 5-ish. So, I mean, by the time we could get to the city, it'd be 6 or 7. And by then everything would be beyond packed. So it's not wise for us to head out that late on New Year's Eve.
Well, man, we'll definitely be safe out there and continue to do us proud over here, man. You're doing an awesome job. And, you know, again, keep us informed on what's going on and keep it up, man. Keep up the great work.
Well, hey, we'll definitely give it our best shot. And I got to get out of here and rest these vocal cords for two more games tomorrow in Newark, New Jersey.
So, yeah, so this is, man, what is this, show 86? Man, show number 86. So, guest number one, our only guest on the show today, we had Pete Vaz, the head boys basketball coach of the Castro Valley High School Warriors in Castro Valley, California, giving us his insight and some of the great things that he has been doing and makes him successful. And, of course, we talked a lot, almost ad nauseum, on the NFL today. Some of the ups and the downs. And so, Sean Wally, it is show number 86 in the books, man. And
hey, Sean, real quick.
Yeah.
Did you have a chance to see who got to raise the 12th man flag in Seattle on Sunday?
Yeah, did I ever get a chance to see? And of course, that was exciting because, you know, that's the coach that last had our successes in Seattle, the Seattle Supersonics, I mean. Of course, George Karl got the chance to raise the flag in Seattle, which he could very well be. He's on the short list right now for the Sacramento Kings head coaching job. So he could be here in Northern California pretty soon.
And before I run, just want to say everybody have a great and safe Happy New Year.
No doubt about it. Of course, it was an awesome Christmas for all of our listeners, I know, and excellent holiday season. And as Sean Wally just said, you know, have a wonderful Happy New Year. Show number 86 in the books, Mr. Wally, for Sean Wally. I'm Sean Boyd, Don Newsom, the engineer. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.